You're listening to Marketplace Weekend from APM. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. The Affordable Care Act changed the playbook for how a lot of us interact with the healthcare system. Health exchanges officially opened their doors at the beginning of this year. We thought it was a good time for a checkup, to hear about your experiences. We've been collecting them on MarketplaceWeekend.org and on Twitter. Chad Terhune, a healthcare reporter for the LA Times, is here to talk through how the health law affects your finances. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We've been collecting stories from our listeners, from people online, and I want to play some of those for you, just little snippets, so that we can hear different people's experiences and then talk about some of the issues that they raise. I want to start with Peter, who was in his 60s, and he had stayed at his job previously because it gave him health insurance. Let's listen to his story.
My name is Pete, and I'm from St. Paul, Minnesota. And this is my experience with the ACA. I was working in a job that was physically strenuous for me. I was working a night shift, and I was sometimes having to restrain people who were intoxicated. This sometimes involves a grappling match or a wrestling match. Although it didn't happen very often, I found that I was getting exhausted because I have congestive heart failure. So it was a job I was really no longer fit to do. However, I had to keep the job because I was getting my insurance through my employer. Thanks to the Affordable Care Act, I was able to buy my own insurance, and this made it possible for me financially to leave the job behind. Now, I was 63, which means that I was too young for Medicare. Right now, I'm paying $448 a month. And believe me, I get my money's worth out of health insurance.
Chad, I'm curious, when you listen to Pete's story, sticking with a job for health insurance is something that a lot of people did prior to the ACA. Has that made an appreciable difference, do you think?
That was a very common story, that job lock. People need to be reminded that the individual insurance market was not a very welcoming place before the Affordable Care Act, and someone like Pete, who was 63, had congestive heart failure, he would have been unable to buy a policy on the open market from most insurers, because remember, they could exclude you for pre-existing medical conditions. Even if you just had an allergy or a prescription for a certain drug, they wouldn't even offer you a policy, and that was legal. So this really is a dramatic change for someone like that, no questions asked, to get a health insurance policy on the open market. Certainly many people have left coverage that maybe was very expensive. They had no other choices. And now, yes, they can go into these government-run exchanges and buy a policy. I think in terms of how many people have done that, it often becomes a financial equation. Workplace insurance generally will still be a better deal because you're getting that contribution from your employer. So in Pete's case, he's only paying $448 a month. That's a good deal for a 63-year-old. And like he says, he's got a lot of medical conditions. But for some people, even staying at work will still be a better deal.
I want to talk about some of the flip side of this, which is, you know, some of the plans that we have seen under the ACA come with high out-of-pocket costs or high deductibles. I want to play some sound from a listener named Brian. He and his family were buying on the individual market before the ACA, and they switched to an ACA plan, and it didn't entirely meet their expectations. I want to listen to that.
Hi, I'm Brian. I live in Mahomet, Illinois, and I teach junior high math for a living. Last year, before the ACA, my wife, daughter, and I were all on individual plans. When it started up, rates for me went way up, so I went back on my employer's plan. My wife and daughter got a Blue Cross, Blue Shield, Illinois silver plan with a high deductible. And then this year, my daughter has had a minor surgery. My wife has had some moles removed, and a significant amount of that is not covered at all. It's just straight to the deductible. We kind of assumed it would be. I mean, it's been both good that we don't have to worry about if she were to get pregnant, we wouldn't go broke for medical bills. But it's been frustrating in the thousands of dollars we've had to pay for basically what we think are routine surgeries.
In terms of how comprehensive the plans are, what are you seeing?
On health insurance, I mean, the original kind of main goal is to protect you, as he said, as Brian said, to keep from going broke by medical bills. Kind of that catastrophic coverage. If I get hit by a bus tomorrow, I will have health insurance if I'm in the hospital for weeks or even months. Now, that next step, what he's talking about, of when you go in for a minor surgery, if you have this procedure, that procedure, on these plans, on Obamacare, you will pay a fair amount out of pocket before your insurance will kick in fully. And, of course, there's a range of plans.
What's the reasoning behind that?
Well, it's a trade-off. If you have more first-dollar coverage, if it kicks in right away, if you just have to pay $50, you're going to have to pay a higher premium. And that's what the insurance company is going to say, because they're going to look at this and say, how much cost do I have to pick up?
There have also been some changes to what employers are doing. And this gets to a kind of a thorny question about how the Affordable Care Act has changed the behavior of companies and of employers. I want to play some sound from our third person, Mark, whose employer essentially changed what they offered because of the Affordable Care Act.
Hi, I'm Mark. I'm from Orlando, Florida. And here's how the Affordable Care Act has affected me. So this year, my employer changed our plan, the employer-sponsored plan that we have at work, for everyone to now be on a high-deductible health plan. So the big change is that no more co-pays. I'd be interested in hearing a full explanation on why employers right now are moving to a high-deductible health care plan.
So what's the reasoning behind that? Why does an employer move toward a high-deductible plan? And I guess let's put high-deductible plan in plain English for everybody.
Yeah, no, this is a very good topic. This is a lot of confusion surrounding this. So a high-deductible plan generally would be a plan, say, with a $3,000 deductible. The average deductible now for a family on a PPO, which is a very common type of health policy, would be closer to $1,000. So many people at big employers would have a $1,000 annual deductible. When we say a high deductible, we're talking three times that, maybe $3,000. Sometimes it can even be a little higher. I think the major point now is people are going to start to get all the notices at work and say, here are your new health plans in the workplace, and we've had to make these changes. And many are going to cite the Affordable Care Act. And I think many experts will tell you many of these changes were already in the works. They're really not driven so much by the Affordable Care Act.
Hmm.
And there was actually a survey this week where it talked about nearly a third of large employers will offer only high-deductible plans to their workers.
If you're a consumer and you're thinking, okay, what's in store for me next year, what should you be watching for? What's coming next?
Price matters most to consumers, and the early signs on premiums are fairly encouraging. So we've had some evidence in California, the average increase for Obamacare policies for individuals will be 4% on average. In many other states, it's in the neighborhood of 8%. There are exceptions in Florida. A big Blue Cross carrier wants to raise rates nearly 18%. So some people will be socked with some double-digit increases. It all depends on where you live, what health plan you have. Now, the good news is, as we talked about earlier, it's easier to shop around, to pick a new policy. And some people say, well, 8% doesn't sound very good. But actually, in health insurance, that's fairly good because double digits have been the norm. And we've even had some insurance companies, get ready for this, have decreased their health insurance premiums. That did not happen in the individual market before. So we're seeing some impact of competition. Insurers are battling for new members.
Chad Terhune, healthcare reporter for the LA Times, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.